My name is Roy and Corinne and Carla. Three of us are going to lead into a few things, and then we're going to let everyone sort of say some things tonight in terms of sharing some possibilities about gift giving at Christmas. I want to start by referring to the storm that hit Royal, Iowa, where I live, last Christmas. I think it arrived on about late on the 23rd. It snowed most of the 24th. All the Christmas Eve services had to be called off. I think that there were about 20 people in church on Sunday morning at Royal, in church where I work. I am one who just sort of continues to hold off canceling anything or calling anything off, because there are a number of people that can walk to church. So we had a few that came. Now, I say that because on the one hand, I suppose we can say that even though the our worship services were called off, that Christmas can kind of happen in our hearts. I'm no longer sure about that, because the public liturgy has become very important for me. And it is the doing of that liturgy publicly, which I think more and more sets the celebration for us for every Sunday and for festival days. I want to talk a little bit more initially about gossiping about God. I used to think that that word was a word that certain people did and most of us ought to avoid, until I looked up the word gossip, and it has a very interesting history. In the background of the word, we have two words, God plus sibling. And in several dictionaries, the first or second meaning of the word, using the noun, so if you are a gossip, you are a person who answers for another at baptism. Now and then I thought, well, gossiping isn't so bad, and it is something which at least originally meant something quite strong, and it was in a setting of worship. So we gossip about God in our Sunday morning liturgy, which constantly and continually traces itself back to baptism. Now, I want to just leave it there. When we were thinking about this forum, we were thinking about alternative ways to celebrate Christmas, or things like this, alternative gift giving guide, and all of those are fine. However, I believe we need to be careful so that we do not construct something of Christmas on our own effort. You see, if it only becomes a matter of picking some books such as this, or doing something like this, I'm not putting down what we've done, or making chains, or decorating our Christmas tree at home, which I and our children usually do. But if Christmas becomes something that we can do by ourselves, and if we now in these days cut back in terms of consumerism, then we might be in danger of putting Christmas together and making it happen all on our own. And in the history of the church and according to the witness of Scripture, has never been that. Christmas and God suffering for us in Christ and the resurrection is always something which God does, and He is the God that we worship, or she, I have to say these days. Okay, I hope that that kind of opens it up for us to gossip about God, knowing that we have had our way cleared for us by God, so that God has prepared this for us and brought this gift of Christmas to us. Now let's go ahead and talk about some ways that we can celebrate this great gift of God appropriately. Let me lead off with one way that Calvary Lutheran Church in Bemidji, Minnesota celebrates Christmas. Our daughter and son-in-law are members of that church. They have a community, the churches of that community have a potluck feast for people of Bemidji who are out of work or who are poor. There are some minority people living there, some Indian American people. This year there were about 500 or 600 people that came to that potluck feast. It is on Christmas Day. I think that is really a very appropriate way for Christian people of that community to gossip about God, to do something as a witness to this God who has done it all for us. Corinne, Kathy, Carla.
Well, I guess maybe that would be a good place for me to begin to talk about alternative celebrations. I was raised in Montana, but I went to graduate school in New York City, and I lived there for a few years, and so I had an urban experience as a single person away from her family during holidays. And I did experience them very differently, which led me then to kind of reevaluate some of the traditions that are so near and dear to our families and our home churches. And what Roy said kind of brought up something that I think is a really helpful thing to do, but I think also in terms of what the Bemidji people do, I'm a social worker as well, and so I have trouble with us doing something for a group of people who are poor, out of work, because that separates them from us, and that doesn't necessarily include them in the body of Christ as much as an ongoing kind of relationship with people who are in need throughout the year, as well as Christmas. I think, yes, there are some real special needs for people who are alone, who have serious economic or other kinds of troubles at that time, but there can be an element of resentment if people are included because they are in need and not seen as people who can help us fill our need. There's not, well, I can't just say that there's not mutuality, but I think you have to be inclusive about that when you are extending yourself and trying some alternative celebrations, that you're conscious of the people that you're including have also traditions and have also needs and celebrations and expectations and offerings that they can give to you as well. One of my experiences in New York City was, I was working for a dorm at New York University, and my project, again, because I was from Montana and I wasn't going to go home for Thanksgiving, was to get a collective celebration for Thanksgiving where we pooled our money. The dorm put in something like $10 or something toward a turkey, and then the rest of us pooled our money and came out with the most exotic feast, because we had foreign students, we had disabled students, we had people from as far away as Canada and Montana and Indonesia, and it turned out to be a very rich celebration as a result of us all kind of working together to do something different than what. And again, some of the people had never had Thanksgiving, you know, as an American custom, so it was a real kind of an evaluation for us Americans to say, well, why do we do this? And what does this mean to us to give of ourselves? So in just thinking about the forum, I guess that my thoughts were just that we be as open, that we acknowledge as much the manifestations of God's gifts in other people that we may not even see on a day-to-day basis, but that holidays, especially our time, that we're aware of the different manifestations of Christ and the different people who came to visit the baby at the manger. We're not the people that would ordinarily be on our gift or are on our, you know, invitation list for our holidays. And maybe that we think about those people and those shepherds or kings or drummer boys or whoever that might be close at hand that we could include.
I think my approach is going to be a little bit different. Maybe I got on the wrong panel. Because I am going to talk about some of the resources here and some of the things that have changed my thinking and my values and my celebration of Christmas. I think my values took a radical turn when I began coming to Holden. And I began to see other areas in the community and the world where there is a deep need. And we who are middle class or above certainly really don't need the traditional American celebration of Christmas. We don't need that. We need to look beyond ourselves. We need to look out and away and find ways that celebrate, that truly serve God. Money, if spent, needs to be spent where it's needed. And in my family, we really didn't need to give each other gifts. If gifts are given, sometimes they're in the shape of giving money to a charitable organization, giving things that are practical, things that are useful, things that are handcrafted, that are recycled, that are ecologically sound. I don't use a live Christmas tree. I am an artist, and if a tree is going to give its life for me, it's going to be in the shape of paper. I use a dead branch. I go out and find the most beautiful dead branch I can, and I use live candles on it, which means that you can only burn those candles, of course, when you're in the room and when you're there to appreciate the beautiful patterns that it makes on the walls and ceiling. Any ornaments are natural ornaments, biodegradable, so that they will go back to nourish the earth. And I think nourishing the earth and nourishing the people on the earth are really what life is all about. And Christmas may be a special time to emphasize those things. Not only that, but if gift giving is important to you, then support people who need the money. Most local artists do. Craftsmen. I think you can find many ways of focusing away from traditional American cultural schlock at Christmas. Not Santa Claus, Saint Nicholas, if you choose to find another character for a focus at Christmas. Talk about some of the early Christian saints and their role in the church, and how these are our models, Christ and some of the early Christian saints. There are some wonderful traditions, as you've spoken of, from other countries and other cultures in their celebration of this feast, and I think it behooves us to look at those and incorporate some of those into our celebration. So those are just a few of the things that I have thought of and use in my celebration.
How many years have you done this paper?
Probably 10 or more.
So it's now a ritual.
It's a tradition.
Yeah. I think we as human beings tend to ritualize. You talked about liturgy, and I think the thing that Kathy brings up when you're when these people are out receiving it one meal a year, they see it as a ritual. They don't see it as a reaching out. I came across that partly on the, because we do the same thing at Christmas where we live, but when I was in the Canadian Air Force, we had a ritual at Christmas. The commanding officer found the newest, most junior person in the lunchroom and swapped hats with us. Well, you can see the Christmas significance. I said it was entirely lost as a Christmas significance. It was originally presumably a Christian message, God coming to the throne of man. But I had the feeling when I was one of the service, plain servicemen, that officers were in our dining room for the first time in the year, the only time in the year, that they were just playing a ritualistic game. And I sensed that from what Carlos said, that these people see that. And when I saw people last Christmas trying to make sure that after the Christmas meal they had enough stuff in a plastic bag to last them some breakfast the next day, and people were concerned because they were taking stuff that was perishable, and they were afraid that people were going to poison themselves. But they, of course, they've been living out of garbage cans anyway. But I think the people on the receiving end don't see us as reaching out to them in a Christian manner. They just see it as one more Christian ritual. And I think it's because we tend to do that. I've heard a person say that, what did the shepherds do the next night? They probably put the sheep in the same position and sat in the same position and be able to wait for the angels to come again. Because we do that. We ritualize. We try to recapture these spirits.
That's why in terms of, giving money to charitable organizations, one of my favorite charities is Oxfam America, which is a self-help program in foreign countries. And so it's a gift that keeps on giving. It's a gift that in many instances puts people on their feet so that they are self-supporting.
Anyone else?
I've been involved. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've been involved in the same thing my husband was talking about, the Christmas meal for the underprivileged. And I guess I came away with much the same experience. But in Texas, we have a black celebration called Juneteenth. The 19th of June was when the blacks were emancipated and it's celebrated. And this year, I took to my black patient that I love dearly, my carnation. And they just looked at me absolutely stunned, because, and I got so much more out of the joy of sharing that dumb carnation, because I crossed the barrier. Mm-hmm. And all they would say was, just imagine. And I wonder if crossing, I think I got out of that experience, and maybe crossing into their territory meant a whole lot more than they did.
Well, I think there's a vulnerability in there that then we have to realize what our needs are and what we need. What we need as Christians, and a lot of that means that we need to be confronted with some of the injustices that we're part of. And crossing those barriers is very painful.
For people on Skid Row in downtown Seattle, Christmas becomes a very depressing and lonely time. And Carla, I'm sure that as a social worker, you have had an awful lot of this. I think a lot of this depression is experienced by Skid Row people basically because of the hurry and scurry of everybody around them. And they are without family, without resource, without anything except maybe a bottle of wine or a free meal or a free gift here or there. Somehow or other, it's very important for us as members of the body of Christ to see these people and to accept these people as fellow members of the body of Christ and to be able to suffer with them or sit with them at special times of the year. And not just as a paternalistic free meal on Christmas Day, mm-hmm. or a package of what we do every Christmas in Skid Row in downtown Seattle, is we make up a package of a free sweatshirt and underwear and socks, and that's all packaged up and given to everybody on Skid Row, about 500-600 people that come to a special Christmas celebration. At the same time, they know the only difference between that day and all the other days is that the clothing is new on that day. All the other days of the year, they can get free clothing that's used. But this is always done, it has to be done without any paternalism or I'm okay, you're not okay kind of sense. And that's a very difficult mental attitude for us as Christians to take on. And as we celebrate Christmas or Thanksgiving or Easter, but it's in the hand-to-hand touch. It's in the caring that brings you eye-to-eye contact, with face-to-face contact with people who really hurt.
Appreciate the last three of you. Yeah, I've learned a lot just from you three. Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have a question, is why do we feel that the only time those people need help is at Christmas? Mm-hmm. Or at Easter? I mean, I work on a 100 task force, and the week before Easter, we were asked to be sure to provide at least 8 boxes. We've never been asked for 8 boxes since. I find this not coherent. It doesn't make sense that they're hungry only when we're celebrating and feeling generous because we are feeling that this helps us
celebrate. Yeah, well, then I think an alternative way to celebrate Christmas for me would be to just very deliberately keep in mind not Christmas, but 3 or 4 or 5 other times of the year when I make sure that I do that. You know, sweatshirts or meals or boxes or supporting community organizations that get out there and do that, not at Christmas, but especially at other times. Yeah, that would be very appropriate for me to make sure that it's done then. The doing of the liturgy, the word liturgy means the work of the people, and to do that liturgy all year long.
Or even all week long. I mean, we do it for an hour a week, and then yes. We go to our workaday lives and forget.
Yeah.
At the Lutheran Compass Center, we have a budget of $470,000 for the year, and about $140,000 comes as contributions from the Lutheran community. Over the month of December, in fact, within the last 3 weeks of December, we receive about 40% of that $140,000. And so that our constituency in the King County area, the state of Washington, is very into that once a year Christmas time donation to the poor, to the hungry, to the homeless, to the Skid Row people. And that's, I'm not finding fault with that, but it's almost as though, well, this is the time of the year, that's the Gada time of the year. You know, we also have another organization that at the Compass Center we have tied into very closely, and that's called an organization called Holiday Project. My wife just mentioned that to me. A group of people who will take anywhere from 4 to 6 hours of their Christmas day and will come down to the Pioneer Square area in Skid Row, and they will go to nursing homes that are the real low cost, the low class nursing homes that are government subsidized. They'll come to the Flophouse hotels, and they'll spend time, not just to give them a gift, but they'll sit down and talk to people like this. And this is a very, very worthwhile project. And maybe it may be an organization that they have this in other cities also.
Yeah, that allows for the kind of the relationship, which then, mm-hmm. if it's a few hours, then that's mm-hmm. likely to repeat itself
yeah.
in a few weeks or
yeah.
whenever.
And then the people who come from the suburbs can really experience
yeah.
a growth and a life that they have received also. They're not just givers, but then they're receivers. And then they can be really lifted up.
I see a certain hazard where I think that you need a pastor who knows the congregation to be in communication with any group that goes visiting. And that is the hazard that you might embarrass somebody from the congregation who's temporarily ill in these places, particularly thinking of prisons, mental hospitals, and so on. And I think that it would be a terrible experience for somebody who's in prison for a short period of time to suddenly find all the people he sits in the same pew with coming around and spotting him there and being uncomfortable, or in the mental home for a short while, you know, withdrawal from something, whatever condition. And I think that there is a need for coordination that sort of thing because of that hazard.
Is it tougher to give time or money to people in need, or to stop giving gifts to yourself at Christmas?
Yes, the answer is in. I'm serious, but yeah.
It took us 3 years. We couldn't do it in 1 year. We limited ourselves to $10 the first year, I recall. And then, I forget how that, but it seemed to me it was like a dollar or something we made the second year, and the third year we said, forget it.
Uh-huh.
We give no gifts at all to anybody.
To anybody.
Uh-huh. I avoid all of the agencies at Christmas, like the plague, mm-hmm. and just... We joined a church 27 miles away with people who lived that way. They grabbed food every Sunday of what was brought because that was not only Monday morning, that was probably the food Tuesday. And they grabbed. I mean, some of that money we saved obviously got given during the year, but we didn't do it Christmas time. That was, for us, it was our need to.
During the values clarification era, we would play the game where, you know, five things. You can have five things, everything else will be taken away.
Mm-hmm.
And when you really boil it down, it's going to be friends, family. You know, they're going to rank pretty high there. Your God, your faith. And when you throw everything else away, okay, that's what's really important to you. And in that case, where does, the usual American Christmas tradition stack up against that? It doesn't.
I think one thing that hasn't been mentioned is that often Christmas can be a very lonely time for people who are alone. And I think that we should be very aware of friends or neighbors or people in our church who perhaps have money but are still alone. And I think that's a very easy thing to do and very rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was talking about criminals. I'm single, and sometimes I feel as ostracized as if I were a criminal sometimes, because the church has their rituals, which are all family centered, and holidays then just epitomize that. So then the rest of us are kind of, well, you kind of go into your closet and you watch the great TV specials. And the other thing I wondered when I...
And it's such a good experience, and if it was like in May this year, we got a note from this couple saying, we chose your Christmas reading this morning and thought about you today and remembered you in our prayers. And it was so neat to hear that in May, or I think in May this year, it comes at different times, because at random they just pull it up. And, you know, that's the people that we want to keep in contact, even. And it's much more meaningful to hear from them then, I think, than it is during what we end up in the rush, sort of the busyness of the holidays. And I've heard different ideas that way. The context of the conversation has been basically, do people in need and so forth, but I think friends and family contact during the year.
Just a couple of things. One is that it would be interesting to sit down with Deuteronomy 14 and the use made of the festivals in ancient Israel for the giving of gifts during those times. It's an interesting biblical base one can call on at this point for doing precisely this kind of thing. Giving gifts to the poor and to others in the community who are needy at special times of the year. The second thing is, I worry a little bit about lamb-basting traditions and seeing little or no value in some of the traditional aspects of Christmas. Some of the dearest memories to me are my mother and father, who were really very poor early on when I was young, going out of their way to set aside some money to buy gifts for my brother and myself for Christmas. And the way in which those gifts at that time were impressed upon us in relationship to the gift of the Christ child had a symbolic value for me that I'm sure has made a very deep impression on the meaning of Christmas, and will for the rest of my days. Be careful with tradition. There's a heart there that I think has great value.
To follow that, I think one Christmas we had Terry's whole family, and nieces and nephews and everything else. When they all left, we decided this was the last voluptuous or whatever word Christmas. Mm-hmm. It was really terrible. On the other hand, as our girls get older and we start, I think ritual and tradition are beautiful things. If they give you the warm feeling, and that's something I don't want taken away from me. Something I want taken away from my girls, because some of the silliest little things we do when we get into that box, and they will say, do you remember when, and they're only 14 and 16. I really hope they take those along. Our first Christmas that was probably terribly special was in Germany, when we brought the candles and the carrots and altar, and we brought them back to America. And that Martin Luther Christmas tree has become so special, I couldn't replace it with anything else. You know, so I guess, thank goodness, we have the very same value in tradition. And what it can mean for family ties, mm-hmm, is so special, or taken away.
I think we've been trying to emphasize that it have that meaning, that often what we're talking about is the traditions that are devoid of that meaning being re-looked at, and certainly what you're talking about is a thing that we all need. I mean, that's part of our liturgy and our relationship with God and one another, is to have meaning behind.
And when you talk about kids growing up, and going to college, and oh boy, we're away from the family now. Don't have to do that Sunday morning thing anymore. But what they're going to remember are those traditions, and those traditions are tied to the family and to the church and to the faith of the parents. And that silly little thing may be what brings them back.
Yeah, I guess I'd say the same thing. I echo Terry's comment about be careful about it. I think that many of the Christian families that I know in the tradition have not been careful about it and have abused the tradition. And that's what I've thought we're coming back to. That even family life that becomes selfish for families is not good family life in the Christian tradition. It's bad family. If out of the family we don't learn to give and share with others. And my observation of working with youth and campus people over a period of time, I'm not talking about church school campuses, I'm talking about other campuses now, is they have not learned that in their family tradition. They have learned to be selfish. Mm-hmm. And they've learned only to remember their own families. And I don't think that's of God by itself. Mm-hmm. I think it's an abuse of the tradition. I hear us calling tonight for a return to tradition, which is a caring for all people. And families exist for the well-being of the kingdom, never for themselves, it seems to me.
Why don't we be a little careful there, Albert, if I could say just a few words. Never for themselves. I'd say that's an overstatement. That it's like the church, if I might say. The family is similar. We can talk about the family as being church and then church. There's an upbuilding, edification, and edificatory task that's necessary for the church to be the church. And so with the family.
I still see what I said, Terry.
Okay, but so with the family. Okay, that's it. There's a very important internal building up of relationships that's important before the family can begin to reach out and be other. There does need to be some inner centeredness in the family before outer centeredness can begin to take on the kind of level of depth, the depth and breadth that in fact we have.
My response to that would be that doing it first is probably a mistake. That the way to get the inner centeredness is by reaching out. And I think that tradition, which is espoused, let's say, the Christian church, and I think the Lutherans in particular have espoused, is what's kept us as quietists. Because we're always doing our own thing so they can be ready to do it someday. And I think even the building edification of the church, if it isn't towards its mission and its outreach, this question.
Can I say something? I was a balcony person who came downstairs. I guess I think we're really someone used the term about cabbage patch dolls that we've been Madison Avenue, and I think that our Christmases have been Madison Avenue, and we're really talking about two things. We're talking about a Madison Avenue Christmas when Dr. Witt, or whatever your title is,
Elmer
talked about giving his wife 40 presents and having a family tradition of sharing, and I guess that's really two very different things. I guess I think that Christmas is maybe a time to give things to the people around you. I see that in my children. They're a little bit old for this now, but they're still in that making something for parents to share, which is where they hopefully are learning to share with people other than themselves, because boy, they're awfully me-centered. And reaching out then beyond our family circle to people who are not directly in our community, to grandma who lives far away, and to a friend who's moved away, they are wanting to reach out, and that is a model for them. And Christmas allows that to happen, and I think that's the sacred model of Christmas, not the secular. And I think we've gotten sold a really wonderful bill of goods, and we think in secular terms, not in sacred terms. And I think maybe a Christmas tree is the same thing. I will not ever buy a plastic Christmas tree.
because I live in North, I grew up in Northern Michigan, and people raise those as a crop. And they are harvested as a crop. It's a renewable resource. So I think I'm helping lumberman so-and-so or woodsman so-and-so at Christmas time because that's his crop. So I feel real good about buying Christmas trees, and they're lovely, and they smell wonderful, and you don't put them back in the box at the end of the season. You put them up for the birds. And in the springtime, you throw them in the compost.
Well, I appreciate this Christmas being able to listen to a sermon. I don't know when they'll... I just cannot pick out Christmas sermons that I remember, or story readings, or caroling, and the whole kind of sequence of events being happening because we want them to happen, and because they...
There must have been an awful lot of lovingness that went into it. I couldn't possibly think of 40 things to give up. But it sounds like a tremendously loving thing to do. And I guess what I'm hearing is... Maybe one of the things that might be nice for families, and I couldn't help but sit here and think about it for our own family, where we have an 11-year-old, my wife and myself, who are sort of the family at home right now. And I keep wondering if it wouldn't be kind of nice to sit down and say, for this Christmas, what is going to make it meaningful for us? And not necessarily, maybe that is a tradition that is worth maintaining. The one of, let's go with where we are and where we've grown and make it meaningful for all of us. And I think it would mean that this Christmas might be a very different Christmas than last one and the year before.
Forums at Holden Village begin and end open-ended. And with that, we conclude. Thank you.